Thanks everyone for coming out this Sunday night. Our talk today has to do with unstoppability. Found a funny story in that connection to start things off. It's about a great halfback named George Cofago. He was a former University of Tennessee star and also a standout in the early days of professional football, playing for the old Brooklyn Dodgers, which at one time was a football team, against the New York Giants one game. Cofago brought the ball upfield practically by himself. And this is just a few seconds before the end of the half. He broke away over left tackle. First one man hit him, he broke that tackle. Another man hit him, he broke that tackle. Another and another, he kept going. Finally, there were about five giant players all ganged up on him, and he still plowed forward towards the goal line. At last, he started down just as the timer's gun ended the half. "My gosh," one spectator shouted. "The only way they could stop him was to shoot him." Unstoppable you. When God created us, he put the seeds of expansion, increase, progress on the inside. Nobody wants to remain stuck in the same place. We all want to grow. We all want to move forward. We all want to increase. For personal fulfillment, we need to be constantly breaking the barriers of the past, taking new ground for our families, and advancing God's kingdom. The world is created from dull, dead matter. It's ruled by laws of inertia. The friction of matter will always try to keep us where we are, load us down, hold us back. This is called Maya, a word for the material world. And its influence will do its best to contain us, to keep us in a box, to limit our influence. If you ever played on the defensive squad of a football team, you might have heard about a back in a coming up game in the opposing team who was described as uncontainable, very difficult to contain this running back, very difficult to stop this running back. In the weeks and days leading up to the game, it's all you talked about, is how we can stop this guy. Just like that talented player, you also are unstoppable. When other people try to grab you, critics try to pull you down, it's like you're covered in oil. They can't hold you back. You twist and you turn like that running back and you get away. That means that the forces that are within you are greater than the forces that are trying to stop you. If you're going to become everything that God, and Krishna is our name for God, has created you to be, you can't get stuck in a rut and think that you've reached your limits. It's our nature to keep stretching our faith, looking for new opportunities, new ideas, new ways to expand our influence. I looked up some synonyms for unstoppable. Here are a few: boisterous, bubbling, buoyant, ebullient, enthusiastic, uncontained, irrepressible, unhampered, unhindered, unbounded. That's the way God wants us to see ourselves. Think of ourselves as being created in his image. Here's a little poem that I wrote in this connection. The inner soul doesn't stop when the outer body ends, like flames from wood, sparks ascending, transcending dark matter, blending with the sky, invisible to the naked eye. You cannot kill, nor can you die. You cannot burn, nor can you fry. The soul cannot be scorched by any blaze. No water drowns the spirit. No wind can make it fade. You cannot cut another, nor can you bleed. The soul is eternal, unstoppable, unborn, a seed, indivisible, indestructible, forever free from birth, death, old age, and disease. As a person buys new clothes, throws away the worn, so the soul replaces dead bodies with fresh ones, newly born. Yet howsoever changed or tossed, the soul can never itself be stopped. Seated in the heart, beating its drum, powering everyone, brighter than the sun, the soul's unstoppable force lives on and runs its endless course in God's unlimited universes. With God in the center of your life, you are as if you were anointed by oil. When some circumstances try to stop you from fulfilling your God-given destiny, it really doesn't have a chance. In your imagination, you just twist and turn. See that something slide off, you're unstoppable. You may have grown complacent and settled down where you are, believing those lies, you've gotten as far as you can. Maybe you feel you've made too many mistakes. You're from the wrong family, or that you have a handicap. We're here this afternoon to try to infect you with a new way of thinking. It is that you were made for more, to have more influence, to accomplish more, to love more, and to give more. We need to warn you. We're trying to infect you with even more faith, infect you with a vision for your life, infect you with joy. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Krishna says to you this afternoon, you have not touched the surface of what he has in store for you. He's going to take you to amazing places that you never dreamed of, bring you opportunities, give you influence. You have not seen your best days. They're still out in front of you. In a purport to a verse in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, our spiritual master says this: it is to be understood that the conditioned soul is tightly bound by the ropes of illusion. A man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be helped by someone who is unbound. Because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. Therefore, only Lord Krishna, who is God, or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can remove all obstacles on the path of a devotee. Without such superior help, one will always be stopped and bound up by material nature. And he continues this way: devotional service, or God or Krishna consciousness, can help one become unstoppable. Krishna, being the Lord of the illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to step aside. He orders the release out of his causeless mercy on the surrendered soul and out of his fatherly affection for the living entity, who is originally the beloved son of the Lord. Therefore, surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord is the best means to become unstoppable by the material energy. What does all that mean? It means you need to dig in your heels and say, I won't be stopped by negative people. I won't be stopped by the way I was raised, the mistakes I've made. I won't be stopped by injustice, by disappointment, or even handicap. I've made up my mind. Where I am is not where I'm staying. I'm rising higher. I'm a barrier breaker. I'm taking new ground for the kingdom. It's time to rise up and become leaders and have influence and respect, credibility, not just in our own circles, but in the marketplace in general. That means in the general public, in the schools, in the government, in the arts, in sport, in entertainment. We're not supposed to hide our gifts and going around feeling like we're second class, that we don't have much to offer. We're supposed to put our shoulders back, hold our head up high. You are a child of the Most High God. He brings his life into you. You have something incredible to offer. In the coming days, Krishna will increase your influence. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was up there on that banner, was a devotional incarnation of God who appeared in Bengal 500 years ago. And he declared the chanting of Hare Krishna would spread all over the world. The first day that he told his followers to go out in the public streets with drums and cymbals, chant Hare Krishna, the local Muslim ruler known as the Qazi personally came out. He broke the Madanga drum. He prohibited the public chanting of Hare Krishna and said that anybody who continued it would suffer the punishment of death. It looked like everything was finished on day one before it even started. Not so. Lord Chaitanya is God himself. He could not be stopped. He gathered 10,000 devotees, 100 madangas, 500 sets of kartals, and they took to the streets in the first civil disobedience movement in Bengal 500 years ago. They marched to the Qazi's house, 10,000 strong, after dark with torches and uproarious musical instruments and flags. All the Qazi's guards, all his supporters, deserted him and ran for the hills. The Qazi was upstairs on the second floor, hiding under his bed. Point is that Lord Chaitanya, having declared that this movement is unstoppable, nothing was able to check it, not even the all-powerful Muslim magistrate. Finally, when Lord Chaitanya assured the Qazi that he meant him no harm, it was a peaceful demonstration, the Qazi came down. They had a conversation in which these were some of the things that the Qazi told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, when I went and broke the drum this afternoon, forbade the performance of congregational chanting, in my dreams that very night, I saw a greatly fearful lion roaring very loudly, his body like a human being's and his face like a lion's. If you look at that center figure there, the brass figure in the middle of the altar, that is the Lord as Narasimha, half man, half lion. While I was asleep, the Qazi continued, the lion jumped on my chest, laughing fiercely and gnashing his teeth. Placing his nails on my chest, the lion said in a grave voice, I shall immediately bifurcate your chest just as you tore apart the Madanga drum. You have forbidden the performance of my congregational chanting, therefore I must destroy you. The Qazi said, being very much afraid of him, I closed my eyes and trembled. Seeing me so afraid, the lion said, I have defeated you just to teach you a lesson, but I will be merciful to you. Today you didn't really create that great a disturbance, therefore I'm going to spare your life. But if you perform such activities again, I shall not be tolerant. At that time, I shall kill you, your entire family, and all the meat eaters. After saying this, the Qazi continues, the lion left, but I was very much afraid of him. Just see the marks of his nails on my chest. He showed those to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Qazi continued, I didn't speak with anyone about this incident, but on that very day, one of my soldiers came to see me. After coming to me, the soldier said, when I went to stop the congregational chanting, suddenly flames struck my face. My beard was burned and there are blisters on my cheeks. Every soldier gave the same description. The Qazi said, after seeing this, I was very much afraid. I asked them not to stop the congregational chanting, but to go sit down at home. And at this point, tears flowed from the eyes of the Qazi. He touched the lotus feet of the Lord and spoke the following words. Lord Chaitanya, you are none other than Krishna himself, come to deliver the fallen souls. Only by your mercy have my bad intentions vanished. Kindly favor me so that my devotion may be always fixed on you. This is a conversion. To as many descendants as take place in my dynasty in the future, I give this grave admonition. None should check the public chanting of the names of God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That was 500 years ago, and Prabhupada makes a little footnote here. As a result of this injunction by the Qazi, even at present, the descendants of the Qazi's family do not oppose the chanting movement under any circumstances. Even during the Muslim-Hindu riots in neighboring places, this is in around the 1950s, the descendants of the Qazi honestly preserved the assurance given by their forefather. Coming down to the present day, Krishna destined your life for greatness. That prediction will come to fulfillment. You may think it unlikely because you see obstacles in front of you. You see closed doors. Perhaps it's been too long. You don't see how you could ever accomplish your dreams. Our encouragement this afternoon is get your fire back. Get your dream back. It may seem impossible, but God says that setback, that delay, that injustice, that disappointment, that bad break cannot stop you. If you'll rid yourself of limited mentality, press forward in faith, Krishna, God, is going to take you to where you're supposed to go. My question is, can you receive this in your spirit? Krishna, God, intends to increase your influence. He will cause his smile to shine down on you. Krishna wants you to be a barrier breaker, wants you to take new ground for the kingdom. Nelson Mandela was put into prison, as you know, because he opposed the government of apartheid. And once he was imprisoned, the apartheid leaders thought that they were finally rid of him, and they wouldn't have to deal with his opposition anymore. At that point, Mr. Mandela could have thought, I did my best, I gave my all, I guess it just wasn't meant to be. Instead, Nelson Mandela knew that he couldn't be stopped by people, he couldn't be stopped by injustice, he couldn't be stopped by racism, by hatred, or even by prison walls. 27 years later, he walked out of that prison a free man, eventually became president of South Africa, and won the Nobel Peace Prize. And we might be thinking, well, I'm not that talented, and I don't have much to offer. Too often we've thought, well, let me take the leftovers. I can't afford that. I'm second class. I'm below par. No, turn it around. Start telling yourself, I know who I am. I'm a child of the Almighty God. I can't be stopped by how I was raised, by what I've seen in the past. I know that God made me to break barriers. I know that He made me to be a person of influence. I'm going to move forward and take new ground, not just for my family, but also to advance God's kingdom. How does it start? It starts right here in your thinking. Do not let your mind talk you out of it. Who said you can't rise any higher? Who told you that you'd never be successful? Who said that you'd never be in management or that you'll never have any influence? Those are lies. Let me tell you what I know about you. Some of you are going to write books that are going to touch millions of people. Some of you are going to develop medicines that will affect our world. Some of you will have a ministry that will shake nations. Some of you will develop software that will revolutionize businesses. Some of you will start companies that will be global forces in the economy. Some of you will be the next leaders of communities, cities, states, and even nations. No, don't you dare sit back and say, oh, that couldn't be me, Chiru. I don't have the education. I'm not that smart. I don't have the contacts. You need to see yourself differently. Start seeing yourself as unstoppable. God put so much talent in you, so much potential. There are seeds of greatness on the inside. If you can just break free from your limited mindset and enlarge your vision, you'll see Krishna take you places that you could have never dreamed of. Our spiritual master, Prabhupada, and the orders of his spiritual master came to New York City in 1966. He was already an old man, 7 years old, no money, no supporters, not even a regular place to stay. However, he was never discouraged. To external appearances, he was no different in circumstances from the many elderly homeless people in New York City. But he knew something that others didn't know. He knew that with Krishna, he could not be stopped. He knew that as a bona fide representative of the unlimited, uncontainable, ever-expanding creator of millions and millions of universes, that he could not be stopped. Soon as he got a few bohemians, artists, and hippies together attending his meetings at a little storefront in the Lower East Side, he wanted to take Lord Chaitanya's chanting public, just like Lord Chaitanya had 500 years ago. He wanted to accelerate. He did some initiations. He did a couple of marriage ceremonies. And now he wanted to expand. This is what we call the unstoppability of a pure devotee. In other words, from a small, seemingly insignificant beginning, his idea was that he would expand this movement to tremendous proportions. What happened was, one day he gathered his little group together. He knew that once they tried going out and chanting in public, they'd like it. But he also knew that unless he went with them personally, it wouldn't happen. Washington Square was only like a half a mile away from their little storefront. Ravindra Sarup, one of those early disciples, writes, he never made a secret of what he wanted to do. He used to say, I want everybody worldwide to know what we're doing. And then Ravindra Sarup writes, then one day, D-Day came. He said, we're going to chant in Washington Square Park. And everybody was scared. You just don't go into a park and chant. Seemed like a weird thing to do. He assured us, saying, you won't be afraid when you start chanting. Krishna will help you. And so our little band trudged down to Washington Square Park, but we were very upset about it. Up until that time, we hadn't exposed ourselves. I was upset about it, and I knew that several other people were, to be going and making a public figure of ourselves. So with Prabhupada leading, they set out that fair Sunday morning, walking the city blocks from 2nd Avenue to Washington Square in the heart of Greenwich Village. And the way he looked, just by walking, he created a sensation. None of the boys had shaved heads or robes, but because of the Swamiji, who did have saffron robes, pointy white shoes, and his shaved head held high, people were astonished. Prabhupada, with his fledgling disciples, was causing a stir. Tough guys and kids called out names, and others laughed and made sounds. In the park, there were hundreds of people milling around, stylish, decadent Greenwich villagers, visitors from other boroughs, tourists from other states and other lands, an amalgam of faces, nationalities, ages, and interests. As usual, somebody was playing their guitar by the fountain. Boys and girls were sitting together and kissing. Some were throwing frisbees. Some were playing drums or flutes or other instruments. Some were walking their dogs, talking, watching everything, wandering about. It was a typical day in the village. Prabhupada went to a patch of lawn where, despite a small sign that read, "Keep off the grass," he sat down, and one by one his followers sat beside him. He took out his brass hand cymbals and sang the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And his disciples responded awkwardly at first, then stronger. And lo and behold, they realized it wasn't as bad as they thought it was going to be. A curious crowd gathered to watch. Within a few minutes, two policemen moved in through the crowd. "Who's in charge here?" an officer asked roughly. And everybody looked towards Prabhupada. "Don't you see that sign?" Swamiji furrowed his brow and turned his eyes toward the sound. He calmly got up and walked to the uncomfortably warm pavement and sat down again. And his followers straggled after him to sit around him. Prabhupada continued the chanting for half an hour. The crowd stood listening. A guru in America had never gone into the streets before and sung the names of God. And after the kirtan, he asked for a copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he had one of his disciples read aloud from the preface. With clear articulation, he read, "Decay in the human society is due to the basic principle of a godless civilization. As long as there is no clear idea of the Supreme, nothing can stop human society from gradual decline. However, in this age, the Lord has appeared in the form of his holy name. This simple and blissful chanting of the holy names is the unstoppable method whereby the whole world will be purified." The crowd was still silent and respectful. Ravindra Sarup concludes, "Afterwards, the Swami and his followers walked back to the storefront, feeling elated and victorious. They had broken the American silence. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." He was unstoppable. Before he passed away, just 12 years later, in 1977, we just observed his disappearance day 2 days ago on Thursday, he circled the earth 13 times, established 108 centers on 6 continents. His books glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as such, they're also unstoppable. They've been translated into 80 languages in tens of millions of volumes. His song, Hare Krishna, was unstoppable. Early on in his mission, sometime in 1969, the Beatles, Apple's Records, produced a recording of the Hare Krishna mantra, sung by several of Prabhupada's disciples and accompanied by George Harrison. It went to number one in England and the top 10 throughout Europe. I was in Walmart the other day, and over the sound system I heard My Sweet Lord, which features the uncontainable chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And as some of you know, every spring, right here, we hold the Festival of Colors, and we do chanting for 2 entire days. 20,000 young people join us right here on the grounds of the Spanish Fork Temple. For hours and hours, they chant Hare Krishna. Many of them say that the mantra is still running through their heads weeks and even months later. Why? Because the Lord and His holy names are, say it with me, unstoppable. Thank you. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted it will be sung in every town and village in the world. If it's here in Spanish Fork, you can count on it being able to go to any other town and village in the world. And can you get this down in your spirit? God wants to increase your influence. He's causing your gifts and talents to come out in greater ways. His smile is shining down on you right now. Rid yourself of every limited thought about being second class or lacking what it takes or being untalented. Here's another short story. When Jim Wallace was traveling in South Africa in the late 80s, this is what he reported. In South Africa in 1987, Nelson Mandela was still in prison, and the world thought for good. School children were being killed daily by government police. The struggle seemed to be at a standstill. I met a 14-year-old boy who was, like many there, organizing in elementary and high schools. I asked him if he was optimistic for the future, and he said, absolutely. When I asked him if he thought there would be a new, free South Africa someday, he stated to me matter-of-factly, I shall see to it personally. You also have exactly what you need. Gifts, talents, inventions, books, temples, songs, missions. They're just waiting to come out. And when they do, it'll be like an explosion. You better get ready. Krishna is about to thrust you to a whole new level of your destiny. You cannot be stopped. God is not limited by your circumstances. God is not limited by your education or lack of it. He's not limited by your environment. He's not limited by how you were raised. I know that He wants to breathe in your direction. He will thrust you explosively forward. Greta Thunberg first heard about climate change in 2011 when she was 8 years old. She could not understand why so little was being done about it. 3 years later, she became depressed, lethargic, and stopped talking as well as eating, and eventually was diagnosed with a type of high-functioning autism. Though the autism limits her in some ways, it also gives her much greater focus than normal. She's called that her superpower. For about 2 years, Thunberg challenged her parents to lower the family's carbon footprint and overall impact on the environment by becoming vegan, upcycling, and giving up flying. Thunberg credits her parents' eventual response and lifestyle changes with giving her hope and belief that she could make a difference. The family's story is told in the 2018 book called Scenes from the Heart. In May of 2019, 15-year-old Thunberg was featured on the cover of Time magazine, which named her as a next generation leader, noted that many see her as a role model. Thunberg and her school strike movement for climate change were also featured in a 30-minute documentary entitled Make the World Greta Again. Some media have described her positive impact on the world stage as the Greta Thunberg effect. She's been the recipient of numerous awards and honors, fellowship of the Royal Scottish Geographical Society, been named as one of the most 100 influential people of 2019 by Time magazine, nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. In September of 2019, she addressed the UN Climate Action Summit in New York. Thunberg said to these world leaders, she was not asking anything of them. She said, we've come here not to beg the leaders for change. They have ignored us in the past and they're going to ignore us again. We've come here to let them know that change is coming, whether they like it or not. The people will rise to the challenge. In that spirit, we're asking you to get rid of your excuses. Quit thinking, I'm not talented enough. I've made too many mistakes. I have this handicap. Let these words sink down into your spirit. You are unstoppable. You are uncontainable. You are a barrier breaker. Krishna wants to use you just as you are. He wants to use you to influence others. Get a vision for it. You can start a new standard for your family, for your country, for humanity. If Greta can do it, a 15-year-old autistic teenager, what's your excuse? All we have to do is take the limits off of God, and thereby take the limits off of ourselves. Quit looking at what you don't have, talking about why you can't do what you do and how big your obstacles are. Shake that off and have the attitude, I am unstoppable. I am uncontainable. This sickness can't stop me. This handicap can't stop me. I'm a child of the Most High God. I will fulfill my destiny. These critics trying to push me down can't stop me. If Krishna or God is for me, who dares to be against me? Even prison bars can't contain me. The streets of New York can't defeat me. In the coming days, Krishna will bring opportunities across your path for you to increase your influence in amazing ways. Don't shrink back. Don't be intimidated. You're well able. You're equipped. You're anointed. Dare to take those steps of faith. Make up your mind. Where I am is not where I'm staying. I'm not getting comfortable. I'm not getting stuck in a rock. I know I'm unstoppable. I'm pressing forward, stretching my faith, believing for bigger things, expecting God's favor in unprecedented ways. I know that you're going places that you never dreamed of, that you'll have influence in circles that you've never imagined, that you're a barrier breaker. You're uncontainable. You're going to set new limits, take new ground for your family, advance God's kingdom. Your gifts and talents are about to come out in a greater way. What you've seen God do in the past is nothing compared to what He's about to do. All you have to do is get ready for God's favor. Get ready for increase. Get ready for His blessings. You'll be unstoppable in this life, and in the next life, you'll go back home, back to Godhead.